What's up, everybody? It's Jamel Gibbs, your family-oriented entrepreneur. Welcome to another podcast episode. This is the Business and Investing Podcast, where you learn all things business and investing related. So the other day, I sent out a message on my social media platforms asking you guys if you wanted to hear more about the 5% down payment program that is basically a conventional program at this point. That banks are using in order to help real estate investors, as well as, you know, especially if you're house hacking, it works out really well. I asked you guys if you wanted to hear more about that particular program. Now, I was gonna do a talking head video with just me talking to the camera, but I decided to get an expert on the line and have him talk about this program and ask certain questions that you guys may have. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So we got a mortgage specialist on the line. Now, he's been on my channel before. This is Ryan Lee from Ryan at planetcheapskate.com. And he also has a YouTube channel as well. Now, since he's been on my channel before, I'll go ahead and link his channel up at the top so you guys can check out our previous content as well as his channel. Make sure you check that out because we talked a lot about house hacking and other opportunities when it comes to mortgages and things like that, especially for first-time home buyers in that last video. But today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. We're going to talk about that 5% conventional loan. We're going to talk about DSCR loans as well. If you're a real estate investor, you definitely want to hear about that. And another thing that I wanted to talk about, but we're probably not going to have time to talk about today, is the down payment programs for first-time home buyers. I was recently talking to somebody who's looking to purchase a home, and I gave her some advice for her local market when it comes to the down payment assistance programs. If you want to know more about how these programs work, do me a favor, leave a comment in the comment section. And what I'll do is I'll have Ryan come back and we'll talk more in detail about how those down payment assistance programs work. But my man, Ryan Lee from Planet Cheapskate, do me a favor, man. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, brother.
Hey, just want to start off and say thanks for having me on, Jamel. It's always a pleasure. Love to talk with you and talk with your subscribers, your members. A little bit about myself. I got into the industry about 7 years ago. So I've been in the industry 7 years. I've been generating loans for 6 years. Interesting thing was that I got in as a marketing director. So marketing's kind of was my thing. Mm. And the same time I started, there was like a 21-year-old kid who started, you know, no college, nothing, just started doing mortgages. And he ended up making more than I did on my salary his first year. And so I was like, something's not right here. So I was initially money motivated, but during my training, I started going to the closings and I seen the way that owning a home, owning real estate just changes people's lives. It changes the whole trajectory of their future and their lives, their destiny. And, it's something that I love. I still to this day go to every one of my closings just cause I love to see, like, you know, the faces light up with the children, the family, you know, and that's kind of what led me into, you know, watching your channel, is that you're doing some of the same things. You're like, you know, you're transforming lives and you're letting people know that they can do these things. Cause so many times it just seems like there's secrets out there that people just don't know, that you don't have to have, you know, Warren Buffett money to start investing. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to be rich to own a home. And so that's just something that I love about your channel, is that, you know, we're giving people hope. We're saying there's a way. And that's kind of my goal, you know, with my channel too, is like, hey, there is a way. Like I'm more geared towards like the first time home buyers, whereas you're geared towards like the startup investors, which I love too, because there's no quicker way to create generational wealth than real estate.
That's right. That's right, man. And what I do love about both channels is we're teaching people how to start very lean. And that's really what it's all about. You know what I mean? So if you don't have a lot of money, You know, Ryan's channel is really good. If you look at the name, Planet Cheapskate, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, the name is what the channel is about is given in the title at the end of the day, you know? So, if you want to know more about mortgages, if you want to know how you guys can stay lean while buying your first property, definitely check out his channel. Be sure to do that as soon as possible. Okay. Today I wanted to get into this 5% conventional loan. That seems to be the talk of the town at this point. And I wanted to go into the details, the nuances of what this program is all about and how it can benefit either house hackers or real estate investors in general. So why don't we start at the top, man? What is this loan?
So, you know, this is a standard conforming Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan. It's not too different than, you know, if you were to, you know, qualify for a single family home. What has kind of hampered this product in the past is that they made, when you wanted to do a duplex, for instance, you would have to put 15% down. Say you
on
wanted
a conventional,
to do
a, you mean?
On a conventional loan, right. Yes. And so, and then if you wanted to do a 3-4 unit, you would have to do 25% down. So it's just been not a good tool to utilize for house hacking, for getting into a loan lien. So they just changed it to where it's 5%. And, you know, people immediately might think like, oh, well, we can still do the FHA that's 3.5. So why would we want to do this 5% when this conventional, you know, when the FHA 3.5% down, but this 5% conventional is a game changer. And, you know, we can get into some reasons why.
Yeah. Let's talk about
but
that.
So right off the bat, the game changer is if you're looking at a triplex or a quadplex, in the past with an FHA loan, you had to do what's called a self-sufficiency test. And that was regardless of what the ratios are, regardless of your credit score, regardless of your investment history, the outstanding leases that you had to cover your mortgage. And so it was very difficult to do that because you had to live in one and then the other three combined had to pay the full amount of the mortgage, which it's doable, but it's like you could have perfect ratios, you could have perfect credit, you could have perfect, you know, investment history. And if you didn't pass that self-sufficiency test with the FHA, you weren't getting into that triplex and that quadplex. That's all out the window with conventional, the conventional five. You do not have to pass that self-sufficiency test. You just have to meet your debt to income ratios, your credit ratios, all that.
Now, do they allow the income from the other units to offset some of that debt to income ratio as well? So are they allowing you to use that as income on, you know, on, during the purchase in order to be able to qualify for the home?
Yeah. You can use that to offset. So that's also a great point with the conventional. On the FHA product before, you could use the FHA product to reduce your debt to your debt to income ratio, but you couldn't use the extra income to offset. And so the benefit of the conventional is that you can now use that additional income also to offset the, you know, the purchase limitations that you have.
Gotcha.
So it's just a game changer when it comes to doing this house hacking. You know, you're looking at a 1.5% more for down payment, which, you know, can usually be, you know, very minimal. The also a main benefit is that your mortgage insurance automatically drops off. So, you know, when we're talking about a triplex or a quadplex, those can be pretty expensive. You can, you know, $500,000 easily, like, you know, $500,000 on a quadplex, and you don't have to refinance. So you get into a rate and say rates go up, you do not have to refinance. Your mortgage insurance will automatically drop off after you get to 78%.
Yeah, because with FHA, you have to refinance in order to get your PMI off, right? So you're saying with the conventional, and it's like that with single families as well with conventional, once you hit the 20% ratio, that number automatically drops off without refinancing, right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so the benefit of that, I have people now that I got into an FHA house hack back in, 2021, 2020, mm-hmm. who are now stuck with their FHA because mm-hmm. it's at like 2.75, 3%, and they don't want to refinance to a 7% or, an 8%.
Yeah.
And so they're stuck paying mortgage insurance
for 30 maybe years
for the life of the loan. Yep. Just because they had, before that was the only way we could do it, the house hacking with the FHA and the duplexes and quadplexes.
Right. But now the game has changed. So how does this benefit real estate investors, man?
So it's a great way to, get started. You find a duplex, a quadplex, triplex. You get into it with the 5% down. You get in, you use a broker so you can, they can shop around, make sure you get the lowest interest rate, the least amount of fees. And say you're married, you do it, you live in it for a year. When that year starts coming up, have your wife do another one. Okay. Once you hit that year, you're only required to live there a year. So once you hit that year, move into your wife's. Okay. I think you have to take occupancy. I may be mistaken, but I think you have 6 weeks to take occupancy. So you time it just right. You could be living in one for a year and then have your wife get one and then you move into that one. I mean, then you have potentially eight units in a course of 2 years.
Now, how many times can you reuse this loan?
This loan here, you can reuse multiple times. Mm-hmm. It's not like a one and done. Now, mm-hmm. it can be combined with the Home Ready, Home Possible conventional loans, which the Home Ready, Home Possible are really just one-time uses for first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. And the benefit they give you, it's not going to give you that 3% down. Like if you buy a single-family home, you can do a Home Ready, Home Possible for 3%. Since this is multi-unit, you still have to do that 5%. But the benefit is that there's less loan level price adjustments. And so loan level price adjustments are just adjustments that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac put on your loan based on credit score, based on your debt to income ratio, which we were talking about how, like the FHA loan can diminish your debt to income ratio, but you can't use the income to qualify. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about is like your debt to income ratio there's going to be loan level price adjustments based on that. And so on the Home Ready, Home Possible, you can utilize those for this, but you still have to do the 5%.
Gotcha.
But you're going to get a better rate. And so say on a normal conventional, you might be at 7.5. On a Home Ready, Home Possible utilizing this, you might get to 7.125, maybe even, 7%. Because those on a Home Ready, Home Possible, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac wipes out a lot of the loan level price adjustments.
So how would you recommend someone that's looking to get started go about getting these types of loans?
So the first step is just, to find a wholesale independent mortgage broker. That's when I say that, I mean someone who works with a multitude of lenders. Mm-hmm. Your best bet's not going to go to your bank, not to go to your credit union. Find someone that you can trust who's a broker who can shop around for you. It's not going to cost you anything. They actually get paid by the bank. It's a mm-hmm. weird twist, almost like a court-appointed attorney gets paid by the court to represent you. A broker is paid by the lender to represent your best interest. They have no loyalty, no affiliation with that lender. So that would be the first step. Mm-hmm. I think this 5% product is awesome. Me and my wife actually just did the FHA version of this.
Wow.
And if this was available, I would have done this all day long. I mean, it's a great to just utilize as little of your capital as possible, but have that long-term benefit of the mortgage insurance falling off.
Absolutely.
And just the ease of qualification. If you're first time home buyer looking at the FHA, the Home Ready, Home Possible, those are going to, bring your rate down. But find a broker, I think is the first step.
Got it, man. And what would obviously after that, once you find a broker, you start looking for the property, and then you just get yourself qualified. What are some of the qualifications that a person needs in order to be able to get this type of loan? Credit scores, obviously we know it's a 5% down payment. Are there any other qualifications that people should be aware of?
So on the conventional product, you're going to need a 620 or above. Mm-hmm. If you go to just some random single lender, they could tell you, oh, well, you need a 680 or you need a 640. And that's another benefit of going to a broker, is a broker is going to shop around. Maybe this lender needs a 640 or a 680. They're going to find the one that is a 620. If you're lower than 620, you can still utilize the FHA product
for 580, right? Down to 580?
Yeah.
Yeah.
580. If you have 10%, you can still go down to 500 FHA. That's an FHA manual. Those are even more rare than, it's super rare to find a lender who can do that, but a broker can find you a lender who will do FHA manuals down to 500.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So 620 minimum credit score, 5% down. If you're an investor and you're self-employed, does that matter, or do you need W-2s?
You do not need W-2s. You just need to be self-employed for 2 years, or your W-2 job that you had before you went self-employed needs to be in the same industry.
Got it.
You need 2 years of a job history in the same industry. Now, where that can kind of hurt you is if you were W-2 and you made a huge amount and then you kind of struck it out on your own. And a lot of times we take a hit because those first couple of years aren't profitable.
Right.
It's going to hurt you qualifying for those ratios.
Just to tell you a little bit of a story of my experience with that, I've had a tenant in the past. I was selling him a house. This was back in Pennsylvania, in Reading, Pennsylvania. I fixed the house up. He had great credit, like a 750 credit score at that time. Trucker, he worked for a company. And, this was a mistake that I made, and I learned my lesson from it. But I let him move into the house because his family, they were moving into town. He qualified. We were about to close a week later. I just let him move in. Never, ever, ever let somebody move into your property until the house is closed. That was the lesson that I learned from that one. But when he moved, he switched jobs. He went self-employed, and then it took an entire year for him to be able to purchase the property after that. So it was a nightmare situation. I still had private money on the property. Thankfully, he was able to make the payments and, do what he needed to do. But I had to wait an entire year for all my profit to come back out of it. And it was simply because of that little mistake. I let him move into the property. He switched jobs. So now that kind of, like Ryan said, that changed his income level. And we had to, we needed consistency. And, it was just a nightmare situation. So
yeah.
A lot of times, if he would have switched industries, that would have caused an issue with the loan. So whenever you're self-employed, make sure you stay within the same industry as well in order to be able to get, prove that you're within the same industry for at least 24 months. Is that about right, Ryan?
Yeah. You want to stay in the same industry. If you do change industries, you're going to have to start over and you're going to take those 2 years fresh. But if you go to the same industry, what they're going to do is, and this is another thing why it's beneficial to use a broker, is every single lender calculates income different. Mm-hmm. You could go to one lender and they could calculate your debt to income at 45, and then another one might calculate it at 48. Mm-hmm. And so they all use different ratios. But when you have a situation where you have diminishing income, there's a different ratio that we use than if your income is flat or if your income is ascending. Mm-hmm. There's just different ratios, and all lenders have different ways that they determine that. And so I've had many situations where, one of my go-to super fast lenders said no. And then I said, I'm going to take this to them because I know they calculate income different. And so I take it to them and then I get it done. So.
Cool, man. So overall, is there anything else that we needed to understand about this new 5% conventional loan?
It doesn't take effect until November 18th. So you can't go out tomorrow and get it.
2023, by the
November,
way. If you're watching this a year
yeah.
from now, we're talking about November 18th, 2023.
2023.
Okay.
Yeah. Great product. Like I said, a percent and a half more gets you a conventional loan, which is always, you do your research out there, you're always going to find that if you can get a conventional over FHA, it's usually going to be the way to go. There's certain circumstances where you may want to go to FHA. FHA does give you a higher debt to income ratio limit. If you have pretty bad credit, it's going to be better to go FHA because you're not going to pay as much mortgage insurance as you would, because on a conventional loan, your mortgage insurance, the ratio you pay is highly determined on your credit.
Got it.
So, but yeah, it's a great product. The fire, it's a game changer for house hackers.
Got it, man. So if you're a house hacker looking to get started, now obviously I know you can get up to 10 loans like this if you go conventional. I believe you can only have one FHA loan, but you can have 10 conventional loans. Is that about right?
Yeah, and you can reuse this after the year. You have to occupy the property for 1 year using this 5%
Right.
conforming loan.
Right. Now, this 5%, so you can reuse the 5% conforming loan after 1 year. If you try to buy more properties before that, that's where the 20% comes into play, 15 to 25% comes into play, right? So if you have more than one of these loans, if you want more than one of these loans, all you need to do is wait 1 year due to 5%. Now, let's say you're married and you and your wife were to use these loans. Can you wait another year and get another one at 5%, or do you need to put more money down?
So what I'm seeing people do is they'll stagger it, like I was talking about before, is like, so year one I do one,
I
and then
got you.
we get
Skipping.
to about 10 we get to about 10 months, and then we're gonna get my wife pre-approved. Now
Got it.
I'm not on her loan at all. You both have to
Yeah, you want to do
qualify
it separately.
separately, and I'm not on the title on hers and she's not on the title of mine.
Right.
So year one I do it in my name, I'm on title. It's about 10 months later, we're going to start looking for another property. We get her pre-approved, and then you just have to live in that for 1 year. Now, if your situation is where you guys live separately, you could do these simultaneously, but you need to be able to prove it, because if you don't, that's mortgage fraud, and that's a
Yeah,
huge,
absolutely.
very bad thing. So
Jail time, man.
say.
It's Fed time.
And it's going to be a huge red flag if it's like, okay, we have a husband here and a wife
Yeah.
here. They live separately. What kind of arrangement do they have?
Yeah.
So, what I'm seeing, the way to do it on the right side of the law is you start looking about 10 months. It takes the average person about 45 days to find a property and close it. You start looking about 10 months, you find the property, and you just make sure you live in that original one for 1 year. And then you have no obligation to occupy. You can now occupy the next one, which is in your wife, your partner's name. You do the same thing. You can do that over and over again. And in fact, we're going to get to the DSCR a little later, but you can have that FHA or the conventional 5%. And at the same time, if you have a little bit, if you held on to as much of your capital as you can, you can also get into the DSCR at the same time. So, you want to get another door, do the conventional 5%, do the FHA, the traditional house hacking one that we were doing, and then close on that, and then you can get into a DSCR. But the DSCR is going to be very difficult as a first-time investor to just start with a DSCR. So you start with the conventional 5%, the FHA, and you have a tenant in the other side, or the other units. That's going to show that you have a history of investing, that you know how
Right.
to manage doors.
Right.
And so then the DSCR lender is going to be more open to, like, because the DSCRs, they're awesome. I've been
Yeah,
doing them
for sure,
so
man.
much.
For sure. That's a perfect segue into the DSCR, but I do have a couple more points I wanted to talk about before we actually get into that. What if someone doesn't want to move? Let's say you got a, you know, a couple of kids and you don't want to move every year. Obviously this loan wouldn't fit the bill for that type of person. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is going to be for the house hacking, someone who's wanting to accumulate multiple doors mm-hmm. as quickly as possible.
So if you're young and you're in your 20s or your early 30s and you're really just trying to get your investments up and you're not married yet, or even if you are, actually, if you are, it can be, you know, you can double up on the amount of properties you can get. But if you don't have a large family like myself, for example, this is a great way to get your doors up and start bringing in income as a real estate investor, period, right? 5% down. This is a fantastic product for those of you who are looking to house hack. Another thing to be mindful of, this is not for refinancing at all. This is for purchasing only. Am I correct about that?
Yeah. It's for purchasing.
Yeah. So this is for purchasing only, but you can use this to really build up your doors. What I recommend, I'm actually going to link another video up at the top that I've done before regarding house hacking and how to really max out your doors. But what I recommend you do, if you can, if your market is conducive for this type of investing, is search for properties that, you know, search for those quadplexes, right? And get 10 of those. We're talking about 10 quadplexes. We're talking about 40 doors, right? And if you can do the same thing with your wife, you double that, you're talking about 80 doors from 20 loans. This is how you max out the doors. 80 apartments. Imagine having that off of a 5% down payments. You know, so think about that, guys. This is a powerful tool. Yes, it will take time to really build up your investment portfolio because you got to wait a year, then another year, then another year. But give it, let's think 10 years out, right? If you're 20 years old, think where you can be by the time you're 30. If you're 30, think by the time you're 40. If you're 40, think by the time you're 50. You know, this is a powerful, powerful tool. And you can do this, you know, if you do what Ryan mentioned and wait the 10 months, if my math is correct, it'll take you 20 years to build up those 80 doors. Is that about right? Because it'll take you every other year, you can get another 5% loan. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, you'll get 5 properties within 10 years. And if your wife, if she's getting loans as well, or if your husband, that's another 5. So that's 10 properties between the two of you. And then another 10 years, you could do it again. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I mean, this definitely, it's something that should be used with other techniques for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not, I wouldn't recommend this as someone's,
end all be
sole
all
way to,
right.
Yeah. It's just a way to accumulate multiple doors quicker than we've ever known, other than the FHA. But the big hamper to the FHA has been the self-sufficiency test for, like, if you're wanting to do a triplex or a quadplex, right, is the self-sufficiency test. I don't know how many times I've put loans together and they fell apart because they didn't pass the self-sufficiency mm-hmm. test, with the other three units have to pay the whole mortgage. And so that's out the window with the conventional 5%.
So for somebody like me, it wouldn't, because I have 5 kids and a wife, it wouldn't make sense for me to do this, to use this 5% conventional loan. But this is where the DSCR comes into play. So that's a perfect segue for that. Why don't we explain what the DSCR loans are first?
Okay. So DSCR is what's called a non-conforming loan. So that just means that it's not sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are loans that the lenders keep on their books. And so what that allows is a lot more leniency. It's a lot more of the lender making a call. Like, many times on these, if you work with a broker, they can go to bat for you and be like, you could be just shy of one of their the lender overlays, which overlay just means an additional rule that lenders put on. Mm-hmm. And for you to qualify. And so I had one the other day that they wanted to see two properties in the past that that he's managed as investments. And so he only had one that he was working on now, and it was a fix and flip. It wasn't even rented. But because I have done these before, and he had great credit, he had great assets, he only had that one property, I was able to talk that lender into giving him a shot and getting it done. But with a non-conforming, it's easier to do that when they're selling it to Fannie, Freddie, VA, HUD for FHA. It's harder to get that leeway because if it doesn't meet those qualifications that, to make it conforming, those agencies are not going to want it, and then that lender has to keep that on their books.
That's
And
right.
when they keep something on their books, that's less money that they can lend out to other families that are trying to do, the same thing you're trying to do.
That's right. Now,
So the
for the
DSCR, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say DSCR, for those of you who don't know, not to cut you off, Ryan, it basically stands for debt coverage service, no, debt service coverage ratio, something like that. Debt service
Yeah,
coverage ratio.
debt servicing coverage ratio. I know it's a complicated term. All it basically means is that the money that you're getting from your renter is covering the full amount of the mortgage and then possibly then some. Now, there also is DSCRs that are a little bit more advanced that you don't have to, you could be 75% offset, but traditionally it's going to be the 1% rule, which just means that that payment has to offset, and the insurance and the taxes have to offset your mortgage.
Got it. So let's talk a little bit about how real estate investors can use DSCR loans and how they differ from that 5% conventional loan that we were talking about earlier.
So the cool thing about DSCR loans is that there's no income that comes into play. You don't have to have a
It's all
job.
property.
It's all about the property, and it's all about credit and your history as an investor. And that's why I was saying that it's good to utilize the FHA hack or the 5% conventional hack to get started. Wait about 6 months, wait about a year, and then get into the DSCRs. And these DSCRs, the cool thing about them is the more you do, the more you're going to get rewarded from the lenders, and the easier your next one's going to be. So they're basically looking at the property. If the property, the lease that you get, or there's something that's done on the appraisal. It's called a. It's on the tip of my tongue. Jamel, do you know what I'm? It is. It's the.
You
It's where they do
said
the assessment, the for the rent, like the expected rent.
are you talking you're not talking about in regards to the debt servicing, right?
Well, it's something they use on the DSCR. It's on the appraisal. The appraiser is going to do a determination based on the local rents of what your expected rent is.
It is on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, we'll link it somewhere. There's a
Yeah.
term for it, but it's really just a fancy industry term. All it means is that the appraiser is going to go out on the DSCR and he's going to say, look at the other properties in the area and say, this is what rent you're going to collect for this property. You may get more than that. You may get less than that. So they take that number, that figure, or if you also get a lease from someone and say the lease is more, well, they go off the lesser of the two.
All they're
So,
doing is they're taking the average of what the market will support for that particular unit, and they're using that as income for the property.
So if you get a lease, the lease could be more, they're still going to use that. But if you get a lease for less, you probably don't want to use it because they're going to use that versus the appraiser's determination. So
So now, do you have to be a first-time home buyer to get a DSCR loan?
no, I mean, you want to have your own house, or you want to be in a lease. And there's some lenders that will use, you can show them a 12-month lease agreement. They just want to make sure that you're not getting a no-doc loan to live in. because you cannot live in it. That's also considered mortgage fraud if you get a DSCR and you live in it. It's not.
It's strictly for investment, just to be clear with
strictly
that.
Strictly for investment.
Right.
Strictly for investment. And so if you don't own your own home, your primary residence, you're going to be put through the ringer a little bit more on like determining like, okay, you have a 12-month lease agreement. Are you staying there? And they're going to do some research after to make sure that, you know, nothing's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple questions, you know, for real estate investors looking to use DSCR loans. Number one, this is obviously strictly for investors. And if you're looking to make a purchase, typically they want a little more down with the DSCR loans. I think it's like 20%, but I guess that really depends on the lender. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's typically 20%. Some will require 25, depending mm-hmm. on your experience. I've seen lately that if someone's just getting started, like the guy I was talking about, that I was able to talk them into doing it, they did require him to do 25 instead mm-hmm. of 20. That was one of the give and takes that they wanted. I've seen also sometimes they want 30. The down payment I've seen is determined on your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's typically 20. I think I have a few that if you're very experienced, they'll do 15%. The thing about these is that there's so many lenders that do them and they're non-conforming. So lenders are pretty much making up their own rules on these.
Now, how long have these loans been around? Because I know the term DSCR hasn't, you know, it became the talk of the town over the last couple of years, really during the pandemic. So how long have loan officers been doing these types of loans?
You know, honestly, I don't know. I don't. I've been dealing with them now for a couple years, but mm-hmm. they really come about really strong and mainstream in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But
yeah, exactly.
It's something I can look up and see, but I don't know. Like prior to the pandemic, I hardly did any. I mean, it was just standard conforming investments. So
yep.
It'd be interesting to see if they were just one of those secrets, you know, that, mm-hmm. that we always are trying to find out.
Yeah, I'm interested in finding more about that as well. Now, obviously, you can use DSCRs on a refi as well. Does it work the same as a refi cash out with these types of loans?
Yeah.
So
yeah, what I'm seeing people do is the refi the cash out to pull their money out of their investment property so they mm-hmm. can, you know, acquire more doors or, mm-hmm. you know, do a rehab on another door or even the one that they're, you know, they got the DSCR. They want to, you know, fix it up a little bit nicer for the tenant or something.
Right. So say, for example, you know, I got a house that's worth $200,000. Like I was literally just talking with a guy the other day and they're willing to give, I think, 75% of the value of the property, which basically means I got to leave 25% in, but refinancing it into a DSCR. You know what I mean? So it's almost mm-hmm. like having a 25% down payment. The only difference is I believe the money doesn't, on a refi, the money doesn't come out of pocket. It comes, you know, it has to stay in the property in order for you to be able to get that type of loan going. You know what I mean? So rather than me coming to the table with 25%, and I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Because the mm-hmm. way I buy properties is 70 cents on a dollar minus repairs anyway. So at 75, I'm getting a free property. The property, you know, I'm getting it for nothing. Now the interest rate is pretty high. It's like almost 8%, you know, in this market.
Well,
but it doesn't really matter.
You know I mean, the crazy thing about the DSCRs too, which is also something so cool about them, is that if you take a conforming investment loan
mm-hmm.
and you compare it to the DSCR, you're not going to see much difference in rate.
Right.
The lenders have made these DSCRs very competitive when it compared to conforming investment.
Yeah. So even in this market where people are worried about interest rate, for me, like on this new property that I'm rehabbing right now, if I refinance it, my monthly payment will be upwards of $1,000 where, you know, last year it may have been, you know, $700, but I'm still going to cash flow $300 to $400 a month if I keep the property, you know? So, mm-hmm. To me, DSCRs are fantastic to use for real estate investors who are looking to use the BRRRR strategy, or, you know, take out debt on a property, even with higher interest rates. It doesn't really matter, because like Ryan just said, you know, normally when you go to a conforming style loan versus a non-conforming style loan, the rates can be higher on a refi cash out going to a regular lender, right? Mm-hmm. Versus if you use a DSCR, like you said, those rates are more competitive. So you're still looking at market rate or somewhere around market rate. In fact, the rate that I was quoted the other day was actually lower than a regular conforming loan rate at that time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously rates fluctuate every single day, but you know, they're really, really effective loans for investors looking to grow a portfolio. So we talked about two different types of loans today. We talked about the 5% conventional loan, and we really nailed that information down. So I hope you guys really benefited from that if you're looking to house hack. And if you're an investor like myself and you're constantly turning over properties and looking to keep more properties, the DSCR loan is really the field that you want to play in right now in order to be able to build your investment portfolio up. Is there anything else that we're missing when it comes to DSCR loans?
No, I don't think so. I guess one thing I just wanted to clarify, because we were throwing around the word conforming and non-conforming, and yeah. I may have touched on this a little bit, but when we talk about conforming, we're just talking about loans that are eventually sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Right.
When we talk about non-conforming, these are private investors in-house. And so right now we're in an interesting time where you're seeing a lot of private investors that are actively competing for your loan versus Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that's why, like Jamel said, he's able to get a better rate going the DSCR route, because these private investors are looking at real estate as a very safe investment, and that there's a housing shortage. So it's a great long-term investment for them. So they're not wanting Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to get it. They're wanting to take on those notes, and because it's a safe investment for them.
That's right.
So
that's right, man. And as long as I'm paying on it, it's a performing note that they're happy to keep on the books. So
yep. All right, great, man. So, great product. Love it.
Awesome, man. Why don't you tell everybody how they can get in contact with you if they wanted more information regarding, you know, mortgages and you know, these different types of loan products.
So you can find me. I'm out on Planet Cheapskate is my YouTube channel. I give advice. Mine is mostly for first-time home buyers, but it is things that you can utilize. I talk about ways you can save money when it comes to your closing, you know, which title or attorney to use, just all kinds of, I call them loan hacks, and they're just ways to save money when you're going through the purchase process. I also do a weekly rate update for conforming loans. So if you want to keep an eye on that, you can check that out on Fridays and Saturdays. Other than that, you know, just there's an email you can reach out to me on there. Planetcheapskate.com is my website. But yeah, I'm sure I'll be on again. And you know, thank you, Jamel. It's awesome. I love talking to your subscribers. And if anybody needs anything, I'm sure, you know, they can get a hold of you or you know, check out my channel, and I'm happy to help with whatever I can.
Absolutely. I'm going to link all of that in the description box for you guys. Definitely check out Ryan's channel. Again, we were just talking about this earlier today. Our channels are very, very similar. You know, and basically it's similar in a way that we're trying to help people stay as lean as possible and really provide value to people. Let them know, look, this stuff exists. You know what I mean? All you have to do is take the information and apply it. Knowledge is power. And when you understand how to do certain things, or when you understand what exists for you, or what opportunities are there for you, you can change your life. You can change the trajectory of your family's life. Everything can change for yourself. but you have to apply. And that's what this is all about, right? So definitely check out Ryan's information. Check out Ryan's channel. And if you want to see Ryan back so we can talk more about that down payment assistance program, for those of you who are looking to buy your first residence, for example, this will be a fantastic podcast for you guys to listen to. If you want to see that, leave a comment in the comment section. I'm happy to have Ryan back, and we'll do that relatively soon. All right. But any last words for our listeners, Ryan?
You know, just don't give up. You know, plot out your course, write it out, you know, get it out of your head onto paper, and, you know, stick to the process, and just know that it doesn't happen overnight. You know, and if one lender tells you no, if one deal falls through, don't give up. Just get on to the next one. Don't waste any time thinking about it and stressing about it, because there's so many opportunities out there. There's so many loan products out there. I mean, we could have a podcast every day for 10 years and probably not talk about all the different loans, you know.
That's right.
So, yeah, just, you know, don't give up. Real estate is the quickest way to build wealth for your family and your generations to come. And just want to say thank you to Jamel. Thank you, guys. And again, reach out if you need anything at all.
Sounds good. Remember, this is a numbers game. We're talking about real estate. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of different ways to use that phrase. This is a numbers game, right? But in this case, Ryan's talking about not giving up. Keep plugging away, because eventually something is going to fall through the cracks for you, and things are going to come into play. So check out Ryan's channel. I'll make sure to link it in the description box for you guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on the next one. Take care, everybody.